and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Your breakthrough looks different from the person next to you. And a lot of the times in church context and in church culture, you might hear like 3 tips for breakthrough, or you might hear like, if you do this, it'll get you the breakthrough, or we just got to sing or declare this or speak that. But your situation is different from the person next to you, which is different to that. And yes, it's the same word of God, but in the Bible, they didn't do the same thing every single time. So it's like, well, how do you match up what you need for your breakthrough? And the consistent thing that I found for breakthrough is that it has a sound. There's a sound of breakthrough. And what I mean by that is that if you think of it in 3 sections, and this is the reason I got you to get the vision and get the picture, the place before breakthrough is that place of prayer. Right? It's that place of positioning. It's that place of asking, of seeking. And it's where it hasn't happened. Nothing's happened. You know, you're at that before section. And the place of promise is what you see, is that vision that you know God's spoken to you, or He showed you that. And it's all the way over here and you're not there yet. It's that place of promise that you're going to. But the place of breakthrough is actually in the middle. You have to get from the place of prayer to the place of promise, and breakthrough happens before you get there. We don't constantly live in breakthrough. We live in promise. We live in what He set up, because breakthrough is a challenging place. Breakthrough is a place where it doesn't feel comfortable. Listen to the word. You got to break through something. There's energy required. There's effort required. There's things required that are bigger than you, which is why we need to lean on Him. But it's not a particularly comfortable place. And so what does breakthrough look like? It's more so, what does breakthrough sound like? And so I want to draw out tonight just examples from the Bible that there's a sound of breakthrough, and they all sound different. They all sound different. And a great way to describe this is actually using the example of breaking through the sound barrier. And are there any aeronautical engineers in the house tonight? Are there any pilots in the house tonight? Fabulous, because I'm really not that educated in this, so that's a lot better, because now I won't feel bad if I say the wrong scientific term. But jets breaking through the sound barrier is what I want to use as an illustration, right? Because sound, the speed of sound can be broken through. And the funny thing about breaking through the speed of sound is that there's actually a sound that goes with breaking through the speed of sound. And there's always a sound of breakthrough. So I wanted to use this analogy. And there's the definition of the sound barrier. It talks about it being the sudden increase in aerodynamic drag and other undesirable effects experienced by an aircraft or object when it approaches the speed of sound. And I thought, well, how likely and how applicable is that to our breakthrough? Anyone had some undesirable effects happen when they're near their breakthrough? Anyone had some restrictions happen, some to and fro, some things happen when they're close? You just feel that you're close to that moment, but then something will collapse. Or unfortunately, for many pilots before they did this, the plane would nosedive and just crash and it would be all over. And so there's this point just before the breakthrough where everything gets really, really tough. It gets really, really tough. The wings start wobbling. The plane starts shaking. The sound is so loud and crazy. And so there's 2 choices at this moment of breakthrough. You either just have to go fast into it and see what happens, or you back off. And it's the same for us. At that point where we're on the edge of something, believing in faith, there's really only 2 options, because you can't stay on the edge for a very long time. You either have to push through something or you'll find yourself backing off. And we've all done both. I've done both. We've all done both. But what is it that's going to get us pushing through? What is it? When the aircrafts were first able to reach close to the speed of sound, the barrier that they were facing, all it required was a little tweaking of the engine and a little tweaking of the actual plane. they found that it wasn't actually a big difference between the old planes and the new planes. They actually just needed more power in the motor, and they just had to make the wings a little bit more aerodynamic. And then they could find that no matter what height, it didn't even matter what height that the planes flew at, they could break through the sound barrier. I was like, how amazing is that? Let's put up a pic of the guy who broke the sound barrier first. He's credited in 1947. Yes, Chuck Yeager. Look at that. Classy. And just check, I know it's black and white, but that was the plane, right? 1947. He's credited with breaking the sound barrier. And so there were many that tried, and he basically all he did was fly faster with a better engine. That's basically what they summarize. He flew his plane faster, he just went through it, and he had a better engine and a slightly better plane. It wasn't even the best plane, but that's what he did. And then the next picture is a picture of a more modern aircraft. And this is what we call the sonic boom. I can't do the boom. That was your cue for the effects. Boom. No, Brad would do it. It's okay. It's only because I know Brad for 20 years. So it soundy jokes, which I won't make anymore. Moving on, sonic boom. So this is a more modern jet, right? So it's the same concept. It just has to move faster with a more powerful engine to break through the sound barrier. And they've been doing it ever since. They've been doing it like the last 80 years at all different heights with all different aircrafts. But the funny thing is that boom that's created, it actually resonates and echoes and echoes and echoes, and everyone else hears it that's near them. Everyone else that is within the sound distance of the plane actually hears that effect of the breakthrough. They feel that effect of the breakthrough. And it's a little bit like that in our lives. So when we actually get to that point of breakthrough where we're going through and we make it through, it just all works and we get through, behind us are all of these people, are all of these areas that hear this sound. They hear this sound of breakthrough that's resonated by something that God has pushed us through. And that's why the contention for breakthrough is so hard and it's so high, because it's not just your plane that's going through. It actually makes the sound for everybody else. It opens the way for everyone else. And so after Chuck did that, everyone did that. Like hundreds and hundreds of people did it. It only took that one guy for it to be recorded. And then everyone's like, yes, I can do it too. I can do it too. I can do it too. And that's what breakthrough does. That's what breakthrough does. It has a sound. The sound of breakthrough, decreeing things will never be the same. It's the sound that makes a way for others. It's more heard than it's seen. So even with that picture of the plane, that you can hear it further than you can see it. So you can hear the effect of that breakthrough. You can hear it more than you can see it. Breakthrough is often noisy, and it's quite often messy. And it always has a word from God with it when we're talking about breakthrough in our lives. All right, so some examples. Breakthrough sounds noisy and destructive. We talked this morning about David, where David named a place. He named it Lord of the Breakthrough because there were battles with the Philistines and the Israelites, and they were winning. And then God sent him off and said, "No, I'll do it. I'll let you win." And this is in First Chronicles, and he did, and he won, and God won the battle. So David's like, "Woo! This is where we did it. I'm going to name this place the place of breakthrough, because God, you are the Lord who breaks through." And the word that he uses is about water busting through and bursting through. And the concept in the original language is figurative language. It's like a dam, and this dam is so full, and that the edges of the rocks and of the structure of the dam just starts giving away. It starts giving away and cracking and giving away, and the water just goes, and it all comes out, and this dam just busts through, and the water just pours and pours and flows and flows and flows and flows. And that's this image that David saw of God. God of the breakthrough. He bursts through. He bursts through what seems impenetrable, and he just flows, and he goes on and on. And that's that That's what David says. And the funny thing about that that place as well is that it was actually the place where he had previously defeated Goliath. This place, the valley of Beth-Shem, I can't say it, I'm not up there on my Hebrew, but this place was actually where he defeated Goliath. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, wow, that happens a lot to us, doesn't it? Like, we'll have this victory over something in our lives, and then we'll think that we've done it and we've moved on, and then years down the track or months down the track, we're back in that place again. We're back in that place again. We're like, hang on, haven't I been here? Didn't I already defeat that thing? Didn't I already get through that? I thought that we did that together. I had the slingshot, the giant was there. I was like, ooh, it took him down. And now I'm back here. Is there another giant? But God actually wasn't taking him back there to remind him of the enemy. He took him back to remind him of the victory. He took him back to remind him of the victory. And I think, well, what is our perception of when we've seen something that we've seen before? When we're in a place that we've been in before. You're in a struggle that you've been in before. You're not necessarily there because you have to overcome the struggle. You're actually there as a reminder of the victory that you have won before. You're there as a reminder that God has won that victory in that place before. And so you're there to declare, no, I've won this. I've got this. He's got this. And we're going to do it again. We'll do it again for myself. We'll do it for others. It doesn't matter why you're there, but what that matters is that you know that he's going to bring the breakthrough again because he's the Lord of the breakthrough. So it's messy. It's gushing water. It's noisy. Breakthrough is noisy. What about Moses and the Red Sea in Exodus when they had to get from one side to the other? You can't tell me that was quiet. It's like an ocean parting. What's it sounding like? Like this ocean is parting. It's going from side to side. It's not neat. It's not tidy. Breakthrough is not neat and tidy. If you're wanting breakthrough, it's not going to look proper. It's not going to look like nice, neat writing, and then you put it there and pray and done. No, it doesn't look like that. We walk through stuff. We walk out of stuff. And I thought about Moses and the parting of the sea and going through. And I'm like, yes. And they got to the other side and they'd be like rejoicing. But then the waters closed and then they're kind of there and they're camping or walking around. What do you think happened to all of the soldiers that the water, destroyed? What do you think happened to their armor, to their swords, to them? It would have washed up, right? It would have washed up. And so there would have been reminders of the enemy where they were walking. Near the edge, there would have been a helmet here. There would have been, a shield there. There would have been reminders of the enemy that God just won. He won the battle over. And I thought, well, our life's like that too. We're walking through and we know that God's won it. We know that we're in the place of promise. But sometimes there's those little reminders of the enemy. There's those little reminders that just pop up visually or they pop up in our thinking. And once again, they're not a reminder of the end. They're nothing that we have to re-battle. It's a reminder that we've already won the battle. It's a reminder that he's already got the victory. So sometimes we get a bit too spiritual. We get a bit too, oh, I'm going to claim that. No, just rejoice. Just give him praise for that battle that's already been won. Just give him praise for that battle that he's already got the victory in, even if there's a reminder that comes through. And I really felt that for some of you tonight, that it was the authority that Jesus has already given you. It's just a matter of walking in. It's just a matter of walking in. You're not actually going around in circles. You're not actually refighting that battle. The little reminders that come up, it's reminders because you won the battle. It's reminders because he won the battle. It's to move forward into it. So it's messy. It's noisy. And like Pastor Andrew said this morning, breakthrough has a sound of praise. In Acts, Paul and Silas, the prison singing, chains came off, prison walls came down. But the bit I love is that the chains of the other prisoners were loosed. The chains of the other prisoners were loosed. Like, you've heard this story. They rejoice at midnight. And the walls come down. They're free. Awesome, they're free. But the chains of the other prisoners, could you imagine? The other prisoners have no idea what is going on, and suddenly they're free. Like, suddenly they're free. Imagine using your voice of worship and praise in your life, and it's just releasing people around you. And they've got no idea what's even happening, but they're being released. I love that. The sound of praise with Joshua and the walls of Jericho, it was the same thing. You know, the army walked around for 7 days, 6 days, and then on the seventh let out that shout of praise, and the trumpet sounded and the walls came down. It has a sound. That was a noisy event. That was a messy event. That was a crazy event that had a sound of breakthrough. And it wasn't just for them. That was for the generations to come. And I really feel this breakthrough. And that's why some of these breakthroughs that you're believing for, there's that contention, because it's generational. It's setting it up for the generations to come. He always links breakthrough to others, because God is so good. He's so good. What about a sound of prayer? Breakthrough has a sound of prayer. I love the story of Elijah in 1 Kings. There was famine in the land of Samaria, and this is all of this chapter. In chapter 18 is where Elijah goes against the false prophets of the world, and he takes them up on the mountain, and they go, "It's my God's real God. No, my God's real God." And there's like fire and bulls and sacrifice, and our God gets proven that he is the God. But then afterwards, he's with his servant, and he's like, "I hear the sound of rain. I hear the sound of rain. The sound of rain is coming." And it's these prayers that were prayed before, because the land was in famine. It wasn't just a go again, I hear the sound of rain. It was like, no, they were travailing in prayer over that. They were travailing for their nation that famine would go and the drought would go and the rain would come. And he heard it. And so the sound of breakthrough comes through the sound of prayer. Same with in Acts 2 with the disciples in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came. That was a noisy event. That was a noisy event of prayer. Breakthrough has a sound of prayer, like a rushing wind. The Holy Spirit came and filled the place, and they all spoke in tongues. But it was noisy before the rushing wind, because everyone was in prayer. The rushing wind just made it extra noisy. Breakthrough is released at the sound of God's word. Isaiah 55, verse 11. I love this, love this, love this. "And so shall my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for what I have sent." A bit of permission that breakthrough is not on you and on your singing and on your worship. It's on the word of God. He can send out his word and it'll perform its work. He can speak and it'll bring the breakthrough. It'll bring the breakthrough. It's the same within Hebrews. The word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll do its thing. It'll do its thing. And then the word of God. I love this in Matthew 8. This is the story of the faith of the centurion. Chapter 8, verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed." Just say the word. And he did. And Jesus did. And his servant was healed, completely healed, just on the word. Breakthrough on the word, just on the word of Jesus spoken. It wasn't a massive, crazy sound. It wasn't a big orchestra of praise. It wasn't the singing of Paul and Silas in a prison. It's just on that word. But it still had a sound. It has a sound. Breakthrough always has a sound. What about the sound of your voice? Proverbs 18:21. Power of life and death is in your tongue. Your tongue has the power of creative words. Just like God himself, he gave us power in our tongue to speak and to create, to speak and see things happen, to speak the power of confession, your voice declaring something, your voice echoing what God's word says, your voice echoing what he's already spoken over your circumstance, over your family, over your business, over your finances, your voice going, no, you made me prosper, Lord. You said that I would prosper and be in health. You said that, you know, you were the Lord of the breakthrough, claiming his word over it all. The other thing, the sound, which is a little bit different, but it just kind of hit me that the sound of breakthrough can be very uncomfortable sound. It can be not a pleasant sound as well. And we go through Psalms and we read of David and just pouring it all out before God. And at times he says he moans and he groans and he cries out. And then in Matthew 27, this is where Jesus did it himself. It describes his death on a cross before he died, before he said, Father, Father, forgive them. Before that, there's a groan. Most of the Bible verses, it says he groaned. He groaned before the point of breakthrough. At the point of breakthrough, there was a sound. There was a sound that came out. And sometimes that's all we've got. Sometimes that's all we've got in our weakest moments, in our hardest place of humanity. Sometimes all it is before God is, it's a groan. It's a groan. And so there's all of these different examples through the Word of God, but every single one of them has a sound of breakthrough, and every single one of them opens up to the promise of God afterwards. And every single one of them involves the miracle working power of God coming in at that time of the sound and releasing people, releasing even Jesus himself into the promise. The promise of death and resurrection was released upon the sound of breakthrough. And I think, wow, breakthrough has a sound. So no matter where you are, you're positioned for breakthrough. You're positioned for breakthrough because we have the sound of breakthrough. On a mountain, like Elijah when he heard the sound of rain. In a valley, like when David was with there and he said, the Lord of the breakthrough. He was in a valley, in a cave. I love David, but he was in a cave a lot as well. He had breakthrough in a cave. He's a worshiper and he's in a cave. The greatest songs were not written from a high point, but they were written from a cave. And the position of worship, the songs from the cave became anthems from his rooftop when he became king. And that breakthrough came from a change in a position of heart in the cave, or even in a palace. I love the story of Esther, when there's about to be mass genocide on the Jewish people. And she set up in a palace. She set up in a palace before the king, and the mission is to say, release my people, don't destroy my people. And she needed to speak. There needed to be a sound of the voice of her declaring that for the breakthrough. And it's a great scripture, and it's, how can you remain silent at a time like this? How can, it's Mordecai, her uncle's asking her, how can you stay silent at such a crucial time as this? Speak, speak. Daniel, prayer. He's in a palace too, worked for the king. The other guys wanted to take him out, but his prayer had a sound. He refused to bow down and he prayed. He was in a palace, but he still saw breakthrough. No matter where you are, there's breakthrough. There's breakthrough. There's breakthrough.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.